From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast.
Welcome back to the Locked On Chiefs Podcast. I am Seth Kaiser with The Athletic. I am here with the unmatched Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark of RGR Football and writing basically everywhere on the internet fame. How's it going, guys?
Boy, you really enjoy doing that.
I love doing it so much. I love it. I can't stop myself, honestly. Man, you know what? I'm contrary to what some people might believe, it is a great week to be a Chiefs fan. And I want to talk to you guys about an MVP front runner.
Travis Kelce, what?
Or let me say that, well, you know what? I'd vote for him. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The MVP front runner, Patrick Mahomes the second. And so if I want to hear, do either one of you have an argument as to why Patrick Mahomes should or should not be the MVP of the National Football League?
I would agree that he should be at this point, but hey, we can't count these chickens till they're home. Get the full regular season in, see what Breeze does, because to me, it's the two of them.
Mm-hmm. I have a hard time giving it to Drew Brees, and mainly because when his team needed him most against the Cowboys, it was a horrible play. And obviously Mahomes has had bad plays, but only scoring 10 points against the Dallas Cowboys, and I get their defense is a lot better than it has been, but that to me really was a big deal.
Absolutely. And here's the interesting thing. So the first things first, if we want to talk about like the game where they did their worst, right? Let's compare the game where they did their worst. I would say the game where Patrick Mahomes hurt the Chiefs the most would be the Rams game. I don't think that's a controversial statement, right?
Nope. But Seth, he threw for like five or six touchdowns and almost 500 yards.
And therein lies the difference. Now, obviously, box score analysis doesn't tell us a ton, but here, there's a big difference. It's like, well, Mahomes threw a game-ending pick too. You're right. He absolutely did. After he dragged the team into contention, dragged them back from down plus 10 twice, scored multiple times, made up multiple incredible throws and plays. There's a big difference between that and throwing a game-ending pick after sucking all night, which is what Breeze did. And look, Breeze is a great quarterback, and he's having the best year of his career. But you can't compare the Cowboys game to the Rams game. Am I right on that, or am I taking crazy pills?
I think you're fine, but like I said, that's probably one of his worst games. Obviously, Patrick's worst game, and you got to look at it over 16 games, as far as I'm concerned. Because I think at the end of the day, that performance by Breeze is going to be an afterthought because of how well he's doing in the other 15 or 14.
That's a solid point.
Yeah, but you can also make the argument that Mahomes has played his worst game against the Rams and still threw for six touchdowns and almost 500 yards. So where's the afterthought on that? I'll play devil's advocate for a second. Honestly, I think it is between those two players, although I think you could also make an argument for Aaron Donald with the season he's having.
I think you can make an argument for it.
But
for sure.
If Kansas City doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, there's no way they're 10-2.
Agreed.
Right. And the same can be said for the Saints. You know, the Saints aren't where they're at without Breeze. But then I ask myself this. If you swapped them out, what would happen? You know what I mean? Because I can't get past the fact that Drew Brees, you know, people say that Mahomes has more help than Brees. I don't agree with that. I just don't. Now, you can look at as you compare skill position players, I think there's something to be said. I think the Saints have a superior offensive line. I think Hill and Thomas are a wash. I think Watkins is better than their number two guy, but I think they're better across the board in terms of receivers than the Chiefs are. Obviously, Kelce gives you an edge, but here's the thing. Better offensive line, and then the existence of such a great rushing attack, and then the existence of the fact he's been in that system for, what, 10 years?
Right.
It's a massive advantage, unbelievably massive advantage. It's down to those two guys. So I wrote about Mahomes. I wrote about the fact that he made a case for himself as MVP on a day where he was kind of off, right? I mean, right? I mean, he was a little off on Sunday.
The whole team was off.
Oh, absolutely. And here's my thing on this. You swap out Mahomes for virtually any other quarterback, they lose that game, just like the Denver game. I mean, the plays that he made on his own. So what I wrote about on The Athletic, I only focused on one drive. And I'm assuming you guys probably know which one it was. Chiefs get the ball back with a little over 6 minutes to go. They're up three. The other team has all the momentum. The defense clearly cannot be counted on to get a stop. And what do they do? Last year, what would have happened in that situation?
Four and out? Sorry.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. And that's no disrespect to Alex Smith, but I mean, they maybe would have gotten one first down, two first downs, and punted, right?
Yeah, probably.
Instead, they drive down the field, take virtually all the time off the clock, and score a touchdown. And I mean, the play that he made to Kelsey to get there, it was fantastic stuff. He was just too good. And so the way I look at it is, on a day where the entire offense looked a little out of sync, where the defense definitely looked out of sync, the defense took a big step back, in my opinion. If you ask me, they played worse than they played against the Rams.
Possibly.
I can agree with that.
Because at least the Rams are a great offense, you know? Right.
Yeah.
And so
the Rams have weapons the Raiders don't have.
Absolutely. They made Derek Carr look good again.
Yep.
And I didn't think anyone could do that. and so the pass rush didn't look good. Houston, I thought, looked a little out of it. I thought he did not seem like he was really in it the way he had been in previous games. And he was unhappy after the game. At least he seemed like it if you look at the quotes in like Sam Mellinger's article.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Houston's an emotional guy, and I think losing teammates bothers him. And so you have this huge distraction. The news about Kareem Hunt broke. It was like barely 48 hours before the game.
Yeah, and that is, you know, people don't give that enough credence, in my opinion, because to me, that is a huge deal. Game plan is already all set by Friday afternoon. You're not going to plan on changing things. Spencer Ware, honestly, I think he does a lot of good things, but he's not going to be successful doing the things Kareem Hunt was successful doing. And you really can't change the entire game plan because you have a player go down or no longer there like Kareem Hunt. You have to go with what you have because the entire team is ready for it and it's already set up specifically for that team. That was a huge deal. And I don't think anybody's really giving it the credence it really deserves. And we did, absolutely. And we did talk about this on Monday with Matt Derrick, on yesterday's show, that this was also, I think, Oakland's Super Bowl in a way.
Mm-hmm. This was a huge game for them. It was one of their last chances to do some real damage. And so you take all that together and you include the emotional aspect of it because the team looked flat. Nate Taylor he's been crushing it this week. And I'll get more into that in a little bit. He wrote about the state of the locker room afterward. He said it was kind of a somber affair. They were sad. They lost their teammate. But with all that, Mahomes basically strapped the Chiefs onto his back and dragged them to a win. And that's what an MVP does. And so that's the argument for it. If you want to take a look at it at The Athletic, great. But we got to take a quick break, pay a few bills, you know, all that fun stuff for Ryan's Mojitos.
Hey, this is for your MVP speech, Seth. Peyton Manning through 12 games in 2013, 41 TDs. Patrick Mahomes through 12 games in 2018, 41 TDs. He is on pace to tie Manning's record, and I think he has a chance at breaking it.
That would be amazing.
Take a break.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people are always asking us for advice. Usually it's which team to bet on every week. And the truth is that we don't know any better than you do. But if you think you know, you got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to check out MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're the best in the business this season. They've been in business for years. They have great online reviews, and their mobile site is really easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. we wouldn't recommend a service to our listeners that hasn't been good to us. That's why we're urging you to check out MyBookie. It's real simple. You win, they pay. They have live in-game betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys in particular, you can even bet the over-under on fantasy points on a per-player basis. Join right now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, up to $1,000. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25, that's LOCKEDON25, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when you're creating your account so that you can claim your bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Did we take a break? I think we took a break.
Done.
All right. So, I mean, look, as far as the Kareem Hunt stuff goes, I don't want to talk about it a whole lot. Do you guys really want to talk about it a whole lot? I think everything's been said.
Everything's been said other than he got into another altercation that they found out about that we didn't know about prior. So,
right.
And I will not be surprised if there's not another one or two.
Right. It's sad. You clearly got a young man who I think has an alcohol problem. And clearly a problem with anger. And that just is what it is. He lied to the team. Chiefs had to let him go. It stinks, but it is what it is. I kind of want to talk about the on-field stuff though.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so what did you guys think of it was Ware and Damian Williams? How do you feel about what they did?
I really liked what I saw from Damian Williams. And I thought Spencer did well at times as well. But I do think that if you're game planning a game plan for Spencer Ware and Damian Williams next week, it's going to look a lot better than what it looked like this week because there are just some running plays that you cannot run with Spencer Ware and expect him to be anywhere near as good as Kareem Hunt was with him.
What do you think, Ryan?
I would agree in general. I thought Spencer did a good job really running Kareem's plays. I think you want to get him out to the edge a little bit more. And I'll tell you this, and call me a broken record if you want. They ran out of a double tight with a single back that I thought that ace was fine, but I want to see them get Sherman in front of him. We see in the last couple of weeks, the Seahawks against the Rams, somebody else this last week, did a really good job running the ball with power with the old style formations in order to eat clock, in order to protect their quarterback. And I think that's really more about protecting the defense in Kansas City. But I think if they can establish this run game, I think that's going to help them against the Ravens and all the way down the line.
But don't you also think that it's possible that that just wasn't something that they planned on doing against the Raiders because they didn't expect to be in a situation where they didn't have Kareem Hunt. I mean, I personally think
for sure. I'm saying adapt your game plan for the next game now that you have the time.
Yeah. No. I'm with you on that. I'm just saying you can't just throw that in on Saturday afternoon. But no.
Right.
So.
And that's definitely something to take into consideration because Spencer Ware is a good all around back. I think he's got a lot of good skill sets, but you can see there's a noticeable difference in bursts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Between Hunt and that, by that I mean I think you guys understand that vertical and horizontal burst. I think Ware can cut just as sharply as Hunt.
Agreed.
If not more sharply. I think he can run with power, although he doesn't have quite that same heaviness in his running. But he runs with a lot more power than most guys. It's just Hunt happened to be probably the best power guy in the league in terms of, you know, yards after contact. Ware is well above average in that category, but where he doesn't quite have it is that acceleration.
Yep.
And you saw that on a few plays. He just can't get to the edges quickly. He can't get to certain holes quite as quickly. You've got to figure out a few different things. What he is good at doing, in my opinion, is running outside zone and finding the cutback lanes, outside and inside zone. Mm-hmm. It's just the problem is the blocking does need to be there for him to get to the edge. And that's why you had a couple of tackles for loss where he's just not fast enough to get to the edge, and then it's a tackle for loss instead of with Hunt, they probably would have been like a 1 or 2 yard gain.
But I did like what I saw from Damian Williams because I do think he does have that burst. And that was impressive to me. And I do think that he's going to get a little bit more playing time going forward because I do think that while Ware is maybe a better runner, I think Damian Williams being mixed in and being able to do some of the things that Kareem could do. For this team is going to be something they're going to use moving forward.
Yeah. What'd you think of Williams there, Ryan?
You know, I was actually really, really happy with the way he ran the ball. I expected him to do the things on the edge and catch like he did, but and it came down the way I thought. Spencer early downs, Williams on third a lot. I think that's going to grow, and I think if you can get maybe, 10 touches for him a game, I think that's something he can really excel and really help you with.
Right.
But I need to move us in another direction, too, because the guy who didn't play, I think, has a ton of potential, and I think he has more acceleration, especially when you're talking about one cut and go type stuff. And I think Darrell Williams is going to be able to supplement Spencer quite a bit and not have to change the way you run.
And I do like Williams. I know he's been like a pet project of yours. He's your guy, Darrell Williams.
Man.
You were talking about him this preseason and he was impressive. He looked really comfortable catching the ball out of the backfield. He looked impressive running. I do think with the team going out and getting Charkandrick West, which we should talk about in a second here, I'm not sure how many touches there are to go around. And so that'll be tough. But here again, Ware has had problems staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's pretty close, but I do think Williams is the guy that they do need to look at.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think the team feels that way too, because they had the opportunity to sign CJ Anderson, who would be another guy to replace in the running style of Spencer Ware. And the fact that they chose to bring in Charkandrick, I think that's both a comfort level because Charkandrick knows the playbook. But I think it's also a testament that they feel like they need to get Darrell some touches.
And I think that could definitely be the case. And I didn't really give my 2 cents on Damian Williams. He's quicker and faster than even I remembered from training camp.
Yeah.
Because he kept flashing in training camp. And so maybe this is an opportunity for him. I would love to see the Chiefs. You guys know me. I'm all modern NFL. I'd love to see the Chiefs move to even more passing. And
you're
Damian
wrong.
Williams, he's one way to do that. Because he's a guy that can line up everywhere all the time. So here's a thought. We're going to come up on our second break here in a little bit, but I'm curious about Charkandrick West. So I'm going to offer you guys a true or false statement. I want to hear whether you think it's true or false. Signing Charkandrick West, true or false, has just as much to do with the fact that the players in that locker room love him and they wanted to boost morale as it does with his knowing the playbook and ability on the field.
I can get down with that.
I could get close to true, but what I will say, there's one other thing that Charkandrick does that Anderson doesn't, and that's play special teams, and that's huge on this team. So if you throw that in there, I definitely think that's true.
Oh, I'd argue that Charkandrick's got better pass pro as well.
Well, no, and you can make that argument. I'm just saying CJ Anderson not playing special teams is a huge deal, and you're not going to be on this roster if you don't play special teams.
Yep. Right, especially as a third down, as a third back. I mean, that's just not something that's going to happen for you. And I do agree, special teams matters. But I have to tell you, when I saw they were bringing back Charkandrick West, my first thought was, yeah, knows the system and stuff. But here's the thing: he is a guy that even when he was, you know, not playing really well and backing up Ware more so, because everyone thought maybe West would take over, but then Ware kind of overshadowed him, and then Hunt overshadowed them both, and Ware definitely overshadowed West in terms of how they look. Even then, West was a locker room leader. He was a guy that stood out, and it was consistent. Remember, he was the guy that stood on a chair after Travis Kelce was all upset and was about to talk to the media, and he stood up and was like, "Hey, Trav, be smart." And Kelce listened to him, right? I mean, he's a guy with some cachet in the locker room, and I would say, you know, time heals all wounds, and the players are going to start moving on regardless. But you want to inject a guy with energy that everyone loves into the room. I think it's a great idea, even from a personal standpoint, even if he doesn't see the field outside of special teams.
Yeah, I agree. His positive attitude. And when I was at camp, I had several people, both with the organization and the media covering it, that remarked on just how much of a positive influence Charkandrick is in the locker room.
Yep. And I think that's a big deal. I think it's a big reason he's back. And I think because now that gives them something to celebrate, not just the win, which they were still kind of somber about, but now it's like, hey, you're back. You know, there's an opportunity to get that. The Chiefs have kind of had almost a party atmosphere this year, you know, with a lot of young guys and a lot of hanging loose stuff. And Kareem Hunt was a big part of that. And so you got to try to replace some of that personality in the locker room. And I think it's a great idea.
Let's take another quick break, and we will be right back to finish this out. All right, so final thoughts from the game on Sunday. Seth?
I think division games are always weird, and this game especially. There was, as soon as the Hunt stuff broke and I kind of recovered from the shock, my first thing was, man, this is going to be a tough one to win now. Because that's going to help Oakland smell blood in the water, that the players are going to be distracted and kind of downtrodden. And football is a game where your psyche matters. It matters a lot.
Yeah, because you have and to be able to impose your will on everybody else.
Right. And if you're not up for it, you're not up for it. And so I'm glad that they pulled it out. It was a tough win. You know, I know everyone wanted to watch them blow out the Raiders. I sure did. But I'm just glad on a day where the Raiders played their best football in a long time, the Chiefs were still able to pull it out. And let's be real. The Raiders gifted them some stuff, too.
Yep.
You know, Raiders gonna Raider with some of those fumbles. Although, to me, you know, the defense forced them, too. So overall, a win is a win is a win. And so they pulled it off. I assume they'll be able to get back on track mentally here over the next week and hopefully do better with the Ravens while I am there in attendance providing my positive vibe.
Oh, that'll be nice.
The better, I tell you what, the better winner, we're going to blame you.
That makes sense.
Yeah, let's go with that. I'll tell you, the one takeaway that I have, and I've rewatched the game now, and I'm still a little concerned about Patrick Mahomes' feet. I feel like after having been pressured and having to scramble so much against the Rams, he looked quick to deliver the ball. He looked like his base narrowed. And I just feel like I'm going to have to look at the 22 as well, but I feel like they got to settle that back down. I think he had to do what he had to do. But I want to see him have a little bit more time. I mean, sizzle's coming and all that. I get it, but I want to see him be able to be more accurate. Especially on the deeper throws. I think this was easily his least accurate output of the season.
Do you think he pressed?
Maybe that's... I don't know about pressing. I think he might have had a trouble concentrating, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
But either way, I think it led to some mechanical deficiencies that didn't help his accuracy. So I want to see them... I hope Kafka is really putting in the time to get him back on track, but we will see.
Back on track, and he still threw for almost 300 yards and four touchdowns. Not trying to make a statement. I'm just saying it's just crazy.
I know. It's all relative, right?
No, absolutely. But Seth,
I know you track about passes that are interceptable, whether they were intercepted or not, and I counted three of them.
That's what I saw just based on the broadcast view. And so I'll have to look at the all 22. But
are you counting the one to that Gerrion Conley got his hands on?
Sure.
The one...
The underthrow to Kelsey?
The one in the end zone where I can't remember who he's throwing to, but it was in the corner of the end zone.
No, not off the top of my head. I'm definitely counting the one that Kelsey snatched out of the air by going over the top of him.
Yeah.
Well, see, that one I didn't count as a potential pick, but I did count three. That one could have been a potential pick if he didn't put it in such a wonderfully pernicious spot. I'm kidding. Pernicious has nothing to do with that. I just need another keyword. And so it is. He definitely did. He looked like he was, like I said, you know, Hunt was one of his best friends on the team. That's tough. I'm sure his pre-game ritual was a lot of times sitting there talking to his buddy. And so that first game was always going to be hard. His first game back at Arrowhead is going to be hard. And so the hope is, you know, every day is a return to normalcy. It's like anything else. You guys know the drill. Any other bad thing that happens in life, every day is a little bit more of a return to normalcy. And I think, especially now with more kind of bad stuff about Hunt coming out, I think it might make it that much easier for guys to move on, which sounds harsh, but, you know, I'm just analyzing the Chiefs here.
That's the reality of the situation. They have to move on.
Right. Absolutely.
Can't hinder what they've been doing to this point so far in the season, and I don't think it will. Interested to see how it winds up with Sammy Watkins and Eric Berry this week. I do think that it's possible we could see both of them playing against the Ravens on Sunday.
That would be ducky.
I'm hoping not, actually, but We'll talk about that on another show, folks. We have more coming for you this week, both preview and analysis. Make sure you're hitting the Athletic for All Access work, and make sure you take a look at Nate's piece. A lot of little tidbits in there that you want to understand about this situation. Check out Chiefs Digest for all that we're doing. I'm going to have some new content over there pretty soon, and I know Chris is as well. Thank you for all your support, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.